Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love.
Greetings, everyone. This is Christopher Rudy for Cosmic Love, October 3rd, 2015. And I didn't have a guest on the show today because I want to address something that's very timely, what's going on in our world that is really big news, you know, for your attention, ideally, you know, what, for your prayers or whatever, because this is one of those situations with in Syria. And those who read my introduction on the show from the show archive information that's with the website, you can read the link that references Syria, but we're looking at a situation in the Middle East right now that's not being reported in the mainstream news, and for obvious reasons, when you get into it, it's kind of like, you know, they don't want the stock markets to crash here on Monday. But it's timely like this. It's that kind of an issue that's going to be coming out more. You're going to be hearing about it more. And I'm going to go into it. So the subject is serious about Syria and the ISIS crisis. And the bottom line here, what's really going on is China is now joining Russia in the Syria nexus of global geopolitics. And the U.S. now faces the reality of partners in fighting ISIS. Here we have China and Russia joining us in the Middle East to fight ISIS. And you would think this is the biggest news of the day. And it's like the mainstream media is devoid of it. And we're going to go into that, you know, what the real story is here. I mean, taking the big picture here, I mean, we're looking at, we got the two hemispheres of the world. The U.S. has been demonized Russia, you know, with the conflict in Ukraine, been demonizing Russia this last year, 4 years actually, and Russia has obviously moved in. This is just this last week, and for those who've been following the articles on Remember September, I've been talking about, you know, we're going through massive global shift, economic shift, economic reset, and all kinds of dimensions of shift, and this is basically, you might say, an outpicturing of the biggest global shift you can imagine. We're talking about the two hemispheres of the Earth that are coming together now to cooperate, supposedly, on fighting a common enemy, you know, terrorism, ISIS. Well, it gets dicey, and I'm going to be going into that. This is big drama, but we're really looking at the two hemispheres of the Earth. You know, the East and Western Hemisphere, and the question is, will this new East-West cooperation culture a global win-win, like two hemispheres of a balanced brain? And or are we going to, is this the end of a bipolar world as we've known it? I mean, the U.S. has looked at it as the only superpower that's a unipolar world, but we've seen this last year. China's been rising, been in alliance with Russia, and now China and Russia are together in the Middle East, and this may be news to you. The internet headlines that are conspicuously absent in the mainstream media is that a Chinese aircraft carrier docked off of Syria to support the Russian military buildup, and this happened this last week as U.S. President Barack Obama welcomed Chinese President Xi Jinping to the White House on Friday, September 25th. The Chinese aircraft carrier Liaoning's CV-16 docked at the Syrian port of Tartus, accompanied by a guided missile cruiser right there in Syria. And that's, you know, you can find that on the internet, and I provided with the link to that article. You can read the article on it. An excerpt from that article is that a Russian, Chinese, Iranian, Iraqi-Syrian alliance against ISIS may encourage other countries to join in, a possibility that likely is terrifying Obama officials and their warmongering partners. This is from the article. Now, this is an internet article. This is what people internationally are reading that we don't get much in the United States. Of course, with the internet, there's no time or space, and people all over the world are reading this. And it goes on to say that the extent of China's involvement remains unknown, although Putin this last week and the Chinese have been discussing, you know, this. And there's an article that I'll be posting that's how they're talking. Putin's talking about going into Iraq to extend the bombings into Iraq. So we're looking at now China's there giving support, logistic support, you know, obviously weaponry backup to Putin. And, I mean, this is a major power play. And obviously it's been kept out of the media because, well, it would disturb the public. So the it goes on to say, again, the extent of China's involvement remains unknown. And DF, and I tried to, this is Deb Canoes, the source of this, calls this highly detrimental to Israel's strategic and military position, unquote. And that's code language for wanting nothing that will deter its alliance, Israel's alliance, with Washington for removing Assad, replacing him with a pro-Western puppet in sync with Washington's regional objectives. It's no secret that that's the agenda, the you know, regime change, just as throughout the Middle East, in Libya and Iraq, and you know, Western government wants to, you know, regime change and install a puppet, and we saw how that, how well that worked out in Iraq. I mean, in Iraq, yeah, that's a classic example. Of course, in Libya, they just destroyed the country pretty much, and it's just been chaos since then. There's no puppet in place that's doing much good, and we never hear about that. That's like a black hole of misery, and a lot of those refugees, as well as the Syrian refugees and Iraq refugees, or have been streaming into Europe since then, as we know. So this issue here begs the question, why is Russia and China so bold to just jump into the fray like this? And of course, people say, well, you know, China and Russia, they don't have military power like the U.S. And so I pose this question, does Russia and China have superior war technologies? And I've got two articles referencing this. One of them's from Veterans Today, and it's about the Russians disabled the U.S. Aegis ship. This is one of those high-technology ships. They disabled it with an energy weapon. This was in the Black Sea. A Russian jet approached this sophisticated electronics ship called the USS Donald Cook, and it used an extremely advanced energy beam weapon that neutralized all the electronics on the ship. And then the Russian jet, and you can read the article on it, but this Russian jet, now, this was not recently. This was this last year. This was in the Black Sea. This was regarding the Ukrainian situation. But this, again, was not in the Western media hardly at all, but Veterans Today did an article on this. They talked about this new advanced technology called Maygrev technology, and I provided a link on that. You can read about this technology, and there's quite a story about this extremely advanced technology that apparently it came out of some inventor in Iran. And this technology, excuse me, has been developed and utilized by the Soviets. And so they did like this mock strafing of the ship, this USS Donald Cook, and disabled the electronics. Then they came back with 12 other passes over the ship, and the crew was so terrified because they were dead in the water. All their electronics were blown out, and the Soviet jet continued like doing strafing runs, mock strafing runs at the ship, which was disabled. They got it back, the ship, but they finally got it back into port. They weren't attacked, they were just disabled. And the crew, almost the entire crew, resigned. They weren't going to have any, you know, they were just scared to death. They thought their life was over. They thought this was it. I mean, you know, their whole ship was disabled, and this plane, you know, the jet's coming down like it's going to blow them out of the water 12 times. Anyway, that's an interesting story. There's technology out there we don't know about. We don't get it. Stories on the Western media. You can read about it, this mega of technology. There's more in-depth information on that that you might find fascinating. Another article news bit about the technologies, the advanced technologies that the Chinese have. An article called China Parades Carrier Killer Missile Through Beijing. This was just this last month, November or September the 4th. And this article, you can read it and see the pictures of the missiles. It's a weapon so secret that China could not reveal it for years. It made its first public appearance in a military parade as China marked the 70th anniversary of the end of World War II. And this is a carrier killer missile. It skims across the surface of the water, very, very low, then at about a Mach 2 or Mach 3, super fast, and it will take out carriers, like mini nukes or whatever they are. And now I've heard about this for years, that this has been secret, but it's been leaked out, and I've read about it on the Internet. But here it is. The Chinese is just coming now. They're parading it. They made it public. And so there's these advanced technologies that are out there. The American military, I'm sure, is well aware of it. So this whole thing in the Syria is... I'm glad they're cooperating, but then we're going to go into this more. I mean, will Russian and Chinese intervention in Syria and Iraq be the beginning of the end of terrorism there? Is the enemy of my enemy a true friend? And we can look at this in a lot of different ways. Some of the drama that's going on right now, and I just read an article just before the show, and this is a pretty amazing article. This is by Glenn Greenwald from The Intercept. And Glenn Greenwald, you may know, is the was a famous UK reporter, exposed a lot of stuff, and he went on. And he's reporting on what happened one day after warning Russia of civilian casualties of the U.S. bombed a hospital in Afghanistan. Now, this is going to be in the news Monday. You're going to be hearing about this. So this is published October 3rd, which is today. I just read the article. And it begins by saying, yesterday afternoon, U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Samantha Power, marched to Twitter to proclaim, you know, on Twitter, we call on Russia to immediately cease attacks on Syrian opposition and civilians. And along with that decree, she posted a statement from the U.S. and several of its closest authoritarian allies, including Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and the U.K., warning Russia that civilian casualties will only fuel more extremism and radicalization, unquote. Well, early this morning, as the article continues, early this morning in the Afghan city of Kunduz, the U.S. dropped bombs on a hospital run by Doctors Without Borders. The airstrike killed at least 9 of the hospital's medical staff and seriously injured dozens of patients. Among the dead was Afghan head of the hospital, Abdul Sattar, reported the New York Times. This was in the Times. So here we have the United Nations ambassador basically telling Russia to immediately cease and desist so you don't harm people. And then the U.S. Accidentally bombs a hospital in Afghanistan, Doctors Without Borders. So this is getting dicey. And there's an article I include, you know, with the article I've got that you can read. Even while you're listening to this, you can click on it and read down through it. There's a link on this article from Information Clearinghouse just about 6-7 days ago. And it says, so Obama wants talks with Putin on Syria. This is interesting perspective here. Here's an excerpt I'll give you. The excerpt goes, after more than a year of demonizing Russia as a threat to world peace, all of a sudden the United States changes tack and wants to hold talks with Moscow over Syria. And there's a cut here. For over 4 years, goes on to say, Russia has seen the U.S. and its clients tear Syria apart with a covert war for regime change against President Bashar al-Assad. The Western narrative of supporting a pro-democracy uprising is an insult to common intelligence. At least, I think I should qualify that by saying, you know, all over the world, people know what's really going on, except here in America, where we get a lot of half-truths and outright propaganda regarding the situation. But goes on to say, leaked secret cables from the U.S. Embassy in Damascus reveal that Washington was seeking regime change against the Russian and Iranian ally as far back as 2006. There's a little cut here, then it goes on to say, Washington's deliberate sponsoring of jihadist extremist groups like the head choppers of ISIS was instrumental in their attempt to topple the Syrian government. The U.S. and its clients have spun themselves into ever-constricting contradictions over Syria, supposedly fighting terrorism while using terrorism for regime change. When Russia asserted its own narrative of aiding an ally in the actual fight against terrorism, then suddenly the West tripped over its own contradictions. So this whole situation is so rife with contradictions. I mean, here's Russia and China supporting the U.S. on a war on terror, much of which has been sponsored by Washington through covert assistance to ISIS so that they can have regime change against Assad. I mean, this is in the collective consciousness of global humanity. I mean, they're following this in Europe and China and Russia and South America and all over the world. They're following this story and going, what is this? This is like the global geopolitical nexus where this whole thing of the petrodollar wars and regime change throughout the Middle East, it's all coming to a head. So, we've got this humanitarian crisis that's been in the news this last month has basically set the stage, you know, in September, it has set the stage for a new conscience in the world of this humanitarian crisis has been caused with the destabilization agenda in the Middle East for the benefit of greater Israel. In other words, the Balkanization of the Middle East with the same agenda of divide and conquer and creating destabilization so that people are fighting among themselves and they don't go after Israel. This has been like a long-term agenda. So there, you know, the part of the excerpt from this article goes on to say that some 240,000 people have been killed and millions more displaced by the U.S.-fueled covert war in Syria. And that this has happened is another abominable violation of international law committed by Washington in a litany of imperialist crimes across the Middle East. In other words, what happened in Iraq, you know, no weapons of mass destruction, massive devastation, and millions of people dying and displaced there. What happened in Libya? What's happened throughout the Middle East? So I pose this question, is it true that this U.S. Middle East agenda precedes 9/11? Does it go back that far? And there's a video by General Wesley Clark, and this really, you know, it's basically just a two-minute synopsis behind the ISIS crisis, and it's the whole Middle East, neocon Middle East agenda. And he goes on to say, General Wesley Clark, in this video, wars were planned, seven countries, and I think he said 7 years. an excerpt from that regarding this video. It says, as a brigadier general in 1991, Wesley Clark met with then Undersecretary of Defense Paul Wolfowitz after Operation Desert Storm. He was told America planned multiple premeditated wars, intending to destabilize and redraw the Middle East, changing its configuration under U.S.-controlled puppet regimes. Now, this is a brigadier general in this two-minute video is on Democracy Now. Highly recommend you watch that video because it just basically says they planned this destabilization agenda to install U.S. Controlled puppet regimes. According to a quote here from Wolfowitz, he says, we can use our military expertise anywhere in the Middle East, and the Soviets won't stop us, Wolfowitz explained. And we've got about five or, and he goes on to quote, he says, and we've got about 5 or 10 years to clean out those old Soviet client regimes. Wolfowitz named Syria, Iran, Iraq, Libya, and other countries, calling multiple wars essential, quote, before the next great superpower comes along to challenge us. That's a quote from Wolfowitz way back in 1991. And you look at that, and before the next great superpower comes along to challenge us. Well, folks, the next great superpower has come along and is challenging the U.S., and we're going to be seeing some drama this next week. It'll be interesting to see how the mainstream media plays this through Sunday and specifically Monday morning, the Monday morning news, to set the matrix of reality, basically all the news that's fit to spin. We're going to be hearing it on Monday. So, the question is, and I pose this question, are you aware that this is all about global economics? I've got two articles here on this. I'm going to give some excerpts regarding the global economic reset now in process. And this has been going on. We don't get this in the mainstream media. The global economic reset is actually, there's a process going on. And the tension's very high over East-West mismatched expectations over who now will own and control the global economy. I mean, we're talking about global economics. And there's another article that goes into this in more depth that's about regarding the superpower conflict over currency standards, the global currency reserve standards. Global currency reserve currencies, international currencies, are 200 times the size of Wall Street. There's a reference to that in the article. That Wall Street is just 1/200th of this global economic currency markets. There's different currency markets, and they have exchange rates, and they set standards for the conversion. And the U.S. petrodollar has been, the standard that everything has, been compared to, but that's changing. And the reason is because the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, has been trying to block recognition of the yuan, the Chinese dollar. China has reacted by selling off U.S. Treasury bonds and with trade alliances that don't use the euro or the U.S. dollar. And this is international trade deals that are going on with the BRICS nations, which includes Britain and France and European nations and South American nations, Brazil and South Africa. We're talking about, and China. We're talking about, there's a whole new trade thing going on that doesn't recognize the petrodollar. There's reasons for that. One of the biggest reasons is, and this is something you won't hear in the mainstream media, is that all this free energy technology is coming out all over the world and going into production in China and, in Japan. And when I say going into production, it's like two steps forward and one step back. There's a war going on, and I could go into more details on this over the last couple of years to keep this technology from emerging. But this is the same, some of the technologies are the same called the Maghreb technology I referenced before. I have a link on that, and you can read about that. But we're talking about free energy technologies. And I mean, even in the United States now, you can go on the internet and you can buy generators now that run on water. And I've seen I get these posts on a regular basis, different websites. And I click on them and go through them, look at them, you know, generators. And they got electrolysis, electronic electrolysis process that splits the water molecule into hydrogen and oxygen and recombines it. And you can put water in the tank and run your generators. That's in America, even. But, you know, it's kind of underground stuff. It's not, you know, overt because the implications of all this. End of the petrodollar. So tensions are high. Western powers have covertly and overtly been threatening sanctions, currency wars, trade wars, and even saber-rattling with World War III threats against Russia and China. But both really, they only want self-determination. You know, they're happy just to trade among themselves and to trade with Europe and trade with the rest of the world. And Wall Street in America is becoming increasingly isolated. And yet they have this thing that they, you know, with hundreds of military bases all over the world, that they can force their will through war. So they can force force the issue. And this is, you know, Power versus Force is one of my favorite books. And by David Hawkins, and he goes into this thing of, you know, true power. You know, I mean, true power. We're seeing, you know, the exercise of true power with the Chinese and the Russians have a new economic alliance with the BRICS nations and which countries worldwide, and they have an economic power that they're now, you might say, comfortable with, whereby on the world stage, then they have advanced technologies, extremely advanced technologies in certain regards, that we never hear about. And they feel emboldened or empowered at this time to basically, in the name of fighting a common enemy, you know, ISIS, of coming together in the Middle East. I mean, this is big drama. I look at it in terms of biomimicry, you know, like two hemispheres of the brain. You know, when you got bipolar disease, when people have, you know, a dissociation from the two hemispheres of the brain, and they, you know, they're not coordinated, you might say. And you got, well, the old expression used to be split personalities. Well, in the global mind, you've got the collective consciousness of global humanity, and you've got these political things basically polarizing and trumping up, you know, stranger danger, you might say, and terror, fears of terror, fear and endless terror war has got, you know, many Americans paranoid anyway, and we've been conditioned to, you know, look to an enemy. And of course, we found out Iraq didn't have weapons of mass destruction. Basically, the world's woke up to, you know, there's been a lot of propaganda and misinformation and disinformation to divide and conquer. And this game is coming to a head, folks. I mean, you know, we got a global village in principle, you know, with an instant everywhere interactive internet. You know, there's no time or space anymore. You know, the walls in the mind have been coming down in the collective consciousness of global humanity. And the more this happens, the more global humanity wakes up to, you know, the reality of the situation, the more that the abuse of power sticks out like a sore thumb, and the global village, the people of the world are looking at the U.S. as the bully, and they're tired of it. So Western media aggravates this tension as virtually an extension of the military-industrial world empire of military bases and proxy wars in Ukraine and the Middle East. And we see a lot of anti-Putin U.S. media incessantly creating an enemy in the public's mind. There's an article I've included that's called, you know, America, Not Russian Aggression is the Real Problem. I mean, the world looks at the Middle East, and they look at this humanitarian crisis, and they know what's caused it. You know, the U.S. has caused it with this destabilization agenda, you know, the creating and managing war. You know, the military-industrial contractors make a killing. Wall Street profits go up. But it's virtually insane. And that, and you know, it's an issue of global sanity. You know, and so I again pose another question: would you agree that the 2015 mega shift is now upon us? Now, that article, there's three articles there at the 2015 mega shift link I provide. Three articles that really kind of go into both the philosophy and the psychology and the metaphysics and the physics, you might say, of what's going on in the collective consciousness of humanity in different regards, with the maturing, you might say, of collective conscience. And, of course, you've got the collective unconscious that gets triggered by, fear and doubt. I call it FUD and DUH. FUD is fear, uncertainty, and doubt, and DUH is dense, unconscious, and heartless. And that old agenda, the FUD and DUH, has worn pretty thin with global netizens, people on the Internet worldwide that really look through, the surface and are seeing, the you might say, a common pattern, a common sense of what's real in the world. So this is a do-or-die time for global enlightenment. It doesn't matter how we may have failed the highest and best use of our, extraordinary potential talents and resources before. I mean, let the past be past. If there's going to be a new day, then the spirit that matters now is how to leverage our talents and resources to make a difference, if not the difference, for a better world. So this is where I'm shifting here. I've kind of gone through the problem. We got this issue. We got this crisis. We got this east-west cooperation or not. We're right at the cusp of a global village situation where the superpowers are in one sense, cooperating, and we're seeing blowback. We're seeing blowback, like I say, from the mainstream media, even from the United Nations, who are telling basically the Soviet Union to cease and desist. The spokesperson for the United Nations from the U.S. And we're seeing basically, a conflict situation where the greatest need of conflict resolution is apparent, and how this is going to happen, how cool heads will prevail. And there's no question in my mind, if you follow what's going on with the energy shift in September, what's going on with the space weather that's affecting consciousness, affecting the brain waves as the Schumann resonance increases in the Earth, and this has been happening. As the Schumann resonance increases, it affects, the brain waves from the theta range and the higher alpha range, which corresponds more to heart coherence. So there's a lot of more coherence in the world, but at the same time, a lot of people are losing their left brain, you might say, the lockstep linear left brain letter of the law that's compartmentalized. And there's this nonlinear thing of global village going on. We've got the two hemispheres of the Earth trying to cooperate and coordinate here in the nexus of the Earth, right in the Middle East and Syria. And you've got some people are making the shift to more heart coherence and unity conscience and common sense, and other people aren't. I mean, this is from what I've read. It's Dr. Atkins who's talked about, and some of the previous articles I've written on space weather and the frequency shift, Dr. Atkins has talked about what's going on with the space weather that's affecting the Schumann resonance to the Earth and affecting the consciousness shift. And and he explains that in this one of his videos that I've embedded in previous articles here about a month ago, he explains that this is what Jade Helm is really about. Jade Helm, the government exercises that were largely in the South, that he says the purpose of that was that with this energy shift and consciousness shift, a lot of people are going to become shifty or shiftless, or they're basically a lot of people are going to basically lose their grounding, and a lot of people are going to lose it. Basically, and we're talking about people from the grassroots to the highest positions of power, and no one's excluded from this energy shift dynamic. And how some people are going through a lot of stuff with losing time, and just depression and fatigue, and just their bodies are trying to adjust to the energies, their minds are trying to adjust to the energies. and big drama in the world right now. So it's a good time, you know, with the thinning of the veil, especially if you're in your heart with heart coherence, which is the higher alpha range, corresponds more to the right brain. You know, right brain, spherical, nonlinear, there is no time or space, more in the quantum field, that as you're coherent, as each one is coherent, it brings up the frequencies, you know, it resonates with the frequencies of coherence at the higher alpha range. And it brings up, you know, in the collective consciousness, or unconscious, we're all connected. So we're all connected in a way, so it's like, you know, the ship that, you know, as the collective consciousness rises, it floats all boats. It floats all boats higher. And again, one in God, so to speak, is the majority. It's an old expression I find fascinating, but basically in the quantum field, there is an intelligence, and one with that intelligence of source, God, divine love, however you frame it, you know, there is an intelligence that one with that is the majority. And so we got big drama going on right now. I'm going to go into a little bit more of the solution from the perspective of, you know, you might right brain, heart coherent, unity conscience, collective conscientious common sense. One of my favorite quotes regarding this is what sparked the American Revolution, which was a layman, you know, Thomas Paine, corset maker, who wrote the most successful political pamphlet in history called Common Sense. And he said, "We have the power to begin the world over again." And Tom Paine, that common sense was the catalyst for the American Revolution. Well, we're going to a global revolution right now. Same thing. I mean, the technology is extremely advanced now with the capability of a global village for the family of mankind and an instant everywhere interactive global village in potential. But we've still got, the horse and buggy legislative systems and election systems that are rigged from the front end to the back end. And it become, instead of by and for the people, it's become of, by, and for the corporatocracy that rig these, you know, elections. And just like the U.S. trying to install puppet governments in the Middle East, we've got puppet politicians representing the corporatocracy in the United States, and are not a lot of choice. Between a Donald Trump and a Hillary Clinton, or, you know. And I mean, all the candidates aren't really talking about any more solution than rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. So something major could happen very quickly as far as an upgrade of social conscience and social networks. And I go into that a little bit. To take the big picture of personal responsibility, just one person reading this article I'm referencing, just one person hearing this and then forwarding the article I'm referencing to just one other person on a social network who links this 2000 Megashift article to a news group or a blog or a social network whereby mass consensus is cultured to compel proactive, positive positioning, packaging, and promotion of a paradigm shift for systemic global enlightenment, what that looks like, how that would work, how the communications media can mediate the mass media's mass mind with, you know, the spirit and form and processes for culturing enlightenment. You know, of course, I've been talking about that for some time. I'm going to go into that a little bit more. What I'm saying is there's a divine destiny for Earth's evolutions that can only be grasped in context. Of the sacred sense of higher power that frames the order of the universe with what I refer to the law of the angles and the language of the angels. Language of the angels, heart coherence, the harmony of the spheres, the golden ratio, algorithm of the heartbeat, that it's actually like a standard frequency throughout the fabric of time and space. It's, you know, this golden ratio algorithms, like the golden rule law language of spiritual geometry or geometric order divinity. There's these harmonics that are geometrized, you know, the fractal order of the holographic universe, That may sound like gobbledygook to some people, but a lot of people are into fractals. They're into spiritual geometry. They're into, you know, the order of the universe. They understand that it's all in divine order, and to the extent that we harmonize with it, you know, not just with our brain waves, you know, but, you know, with our hearts. And, of course, you know, like I say, the higher alpha frequencies correspond more to right brain dominance. That's more heart coherent. And the Eastern civilizations, again, they're more right brain dominant. They read from right to left with their calligraphy. In the West, we're more left brain dominant. This is the biomimicry model of the quantum field of the Earth. It's long been known, you know, and I've had, you know, people on the show like Lynn McTaggart here about a year ago, and her book called The Bond and the Field, Connecting Through Space. She was the one that blew my mind by saying that, you know, the two hemispheres of the Earth correspond to the hemispheres of the brain. They're Eastern, they're right brain dominant. They read right to left on a page. We're left brain dominant. We read left to right. And where they meet, well, it's the Middle East right now. And there's a spherical, nonlinear, spherical, spiritual consciousness that the inscrutable Orientals have long had, have not understood by the left brain dominant letter of the law logic of the Western civilization. You know, who reads left to right with symbols, you know, letters and words, both of which are often twice removed from the truth. The whole is the whole systems, holistic thinking, whole systems thinking, the Buckminster Fuller was famous for, and people like Albert Einstein, I have a picture in the article below that says Albert Einstein says, "I never made one of my discoveries through the process of rational thinking." And what he's referencing is left brain linear logical. You know, the inventors throughout history, you know, will work on a problem, they'll brainstorm, and they'll go to sleep, and then they'll have a dream, which is, again, right brain speaking to them, the unconscious speaking to them, and they'll have the vision of a holistic new, I mean, it's not rational thinking, it's nonlinear thinking. This is what Einstein was saying, you know, it's like the inscrutable Eastern way of thinking about everything. Well, we're seeing the how they think, you know, the Chinese and the Russians, you know, how they're thinking about helping fight a common enemy, ISIS. They figure that this is their door. This is their opening to come in and help with that. Well, of course, the problem is that the U.S. has been creating and financing and getting the weapons for ISIS and using that and supporting the CIA, has been backing the rebels against Assad and creating destabilization there. And the world knows this. And, you know, it's like this far and no further is basically what China and Russia are saying. And, of course, a lot of the Western minds going into conniptions about all this, you know, because they just look at it simply as, you know, there's just the supremacy of the Western banking system, the Western petrodollar, and the American exceptionalism that says, you know, we're the only world superpower, and anybody challenging us is the enemy. Well, that's kind of third grade, 9 years old, but, you know, on the world stage, you get a lot of that, especially with the energy shift right now, this last September, and you've got crazies going off, and again, on the grassroots and from the top down in positions of power, you got crazies going off. You know, they want war. They're saber rattling. They want to create and manage, and, you know, another crisis and make a killing for the military industrial complex or for power without principle, or however you put it. So this is a dynamic going on now. At the same time, we're seeing a dynamic with full disclosure of all kinds of major cover-ups. The new series on the internet, the Cosmic Disclosure series with Corey Good and David Wilcock, has been exposing worldwide, this is on the internet, 20 years inside the secret space program. You know, I mean, this is mind-blowing to Americans. We don't get this in the mainstream media. We don't hear about how there's been a secret space program going on with colonies on Mars and the moon and Stargates, you know, sending people from Earth all over the galaxy. We don't hear about that. I mean, and people that, you know, listen to these shows realize it's true, that it's been going on for some time. I remember reading about the book called Alternative 3 15, 20 years ago about the secret space program, and the book was basically banned. It was taken out of print. I got a paperback copy of it somewhere. And it was about what happened with the brain drain when people were disappearing all over the United States, disappearing, you know, high-advanced technology people. I have a friend who was a girl when her father, she was just a young girl when her father disappeared, and they couldn't. It was a closed coffin. He disappeared, and they, you know, had a kind of a mock funeral, but he was disappeared into this same program, Alternative 3, with this secret space program, and some people know of this, most people don't. But you watch this series, Cosmic Disclosure, and you find out about a lot of stuff. Technology is extremely advanced, could be used for holistic healing, for free energy technologies, global enlightenment capabilities. For the global medicines of Earth, it could be just a renaissance. It could be a golden age civilization. It could be initiation of Aquarius, the Aquarian dispensation, a 2,000-year period of peace and prosperity you might say common self-governance and cooperation with beings from all over our universe. And this gets into the ET presence and how they've been here, how they've been collaborating with the government and these secret programs and this whole story, which is just too much for most people. It's a lot. So I'm going to cut this program short. There's some more information I've got here that may interest you. There's a really good article by John Pilger. It just came out October 1st, called The Revolutionary Act of Telling the Truth. I highly recommend that article. It's a very good article. And to kind of course finish up on the theme of the paradigm shift, the power shift, the global power shift has already happened in the continuum. It's moving away from BS belief systems that rationalize the abuse of power, and it's moving towards pure intention that focuses attention on our global ascension as a family of mankind in a global village. But that's in process. So, I want to thank you for listening this far. If you have a chance, please support Cosmic Love Show with our sponsor, which is Ultramedic Services, and you can go to. You can go to the page on Ultramedics from this page, and products for the Swedish pollen extract, Prescriptus, the best soil-based organisms for your guts, and the best super nutrient rocket fuel for your immune system, for your glands, for your energy, vigor, and vitality. We're talking about micronutrient rocket fuel for the glands, the richest source of RNA, DNA, genetic material for genetic repair. Most of you know the story on the pollen extract from previous articles. Thank you again for listening. Going to have a little short meditation, and we'll catch you in a couple weeks. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I have enjoyed giving it. There's a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of Cosmic Love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense. And it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule, law, language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change, only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either, the internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love, and the foundation principles for this is the Love Model, a universal law language interface for net reality that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness. The five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience, it will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all, always has, always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the light workers who are love makers. The internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. Take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with cosmic love. It only gets better as you pay attention. This is how cosmic love works. Pay attention because attention pays in ways that make cosmic love the new currency for global peace and prosperity. Your attention is your consciousness. The next economy for planetary civilization will pay attention to the value of virtue, the virtue of cosmic love. The family of man and our global village must be connected to this one virtue. We must pay attention to the first principles of higher consciousness if we are to transcend the old paradigms of scarcity consciousness that scarcity economics has created. This is the whole point of cosmic love. We won't heal our personal and planetary problems with the same consciousness that created the problems. The best hope for humanity is the charity of goodwill among mankind. This is the charity of cosmic love in action. This is the Holy Spirit of cosmic love in man that raises mankind with loving kindness. I hope you appreciate this message and share it with others. That may be just your circle of influence with family and friends, or it may be every news group or blog on the internet where lightworkers and enlightened netizens, global citizens, hang out. By the grace of cosmic love, enough good people will do enough soon enough to quickly turn the tide of global consciousness from the paradigm of scarcity to the paradigm of abundance that cosmic love cultures. May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.